Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hi, I'm Alexis Ohanian. You may know me as one of the co-founders of Reddit, but more recently, a large part of my identity is being a father to my wonderful daughters. In my podcast, Business Dad, I hope to open the conversation about working parents a bit. You'll get to hear from a wide range of business dads, from Rainn Wilson and Guy Raz to Todd Carmichael and Shane Battier, to find out how they balance being a dad with a successful career. Business Dad is available now, so be sure to listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode of the IGN UK podcast is brought to you by Thanos. Is the sound of a massive Hasbro Infinity Gauntlet.
It makes that noise.
If his hand makes those noises when he uses it in the film, I'm not going to be able to concentrate.
That's sounds ridiculous. Like the Builder dropping his tools.
A massive Thanos hand, and it is fucking brilliant. It's like when you saw those Hulk hands. I always wanted those Hulk hands, but a little bit.
But did they have the hooks inside? The best thing about this is you put your hand into like hooks inside, and it controls the massive fingers on the outside.
Is it for kids? Because it's quite hard for a kid to control, especially if you have small hands. I have small hands.
My hand doesn't really fit in it.
I don't think
I can't get my thumb to work inside.
Yeah, I don't think it's for kids because it's quite expensive. But then
kids can't have expensive things, can they?
Rich kids can.
Not the little ones.
You're not treating kids.
Have you ever been to Hamleys and seen the top floor where they've got like actual petrol-powered mini cars?
Really?
I'm like, that's a kid's getting that somewhere.
Anyway, who are we? My name is Gav Murphy, and I'm joined by Simon Cardy and Joe Scribbles.
Hello to you.
Good morning.
This week we've got a lot of good stuff on. We've got God of War, except we haven't, because none of us have played it except for Krupa. I'm going to go out and buy it.
You rambled on about that last week, didn't you?
Yeah. So that's fine. But a couple of things that did drop on down this week during our time was Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom.
Fallen Kingdom.
Because they've got that fucking game coming out at the same time.
So Jurassic World 2.
Jurassic World Evolution. Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom is the movie.
I constantly think Jurassic World Evolution is like a crossover with the David Duchovny movie. I really wish it was.
That was about giant things, wasn't it?
It was about like weirdo bugs. Beasts.
Yeah, I thought it was about bugs.
Tim and Orlando Jones and... who you don't hear much about anymore.
Yeah.
And a lady who... I can't remember. Who was the lady? There was a lady.
I don't know what you're talking about anymore.
You never watched Evolution?
I haven't watched Evolution.
There was a cartoon of it as well.
But yeah, Jurassic World 2 trailer dropped. Okay. Obviously, we were quite excited. Yeah.
Basically, it looks like traffic with dinosaurs.
It looks fucking mental. I think like we all watched it going like, "Way!" But at the end, we were like, what is this film?
It really feels to me like... a film in which all the dinosaurs are on the island and have to be saved.
Yeah.
And then an entirely separate horror film about a girl being chased by a velociraptor.
I'm up for the horror
girl,
film.
Man.
The horror film stuff here looks brilliant.
It really does.
I feel like I know, I would say, 3/4 of the film now.
Oh, yeah.
You reckon?
Do we tell you what
Absolutely.
Happens?
Yeah, go on.
Okay, so is this in this probably not that interesting? Yeah, I've worked out pretty much all the film. I put it like beat for beat in the Rewind Theatre for everyone because I watched it quite closely. But there's a couple of things going on in it. Like, I do like that it's properly looks mental on that island.
Yeah.
But the thing that I just cannot get my head around is. Like, I wrote this in my notes for the Rewind Theatre, and then Tom Jorgensen's made a feature. And it's basically like, when will we learn, guys? Because it feels like Never. Yeah. There's so much mad stuff going on there. Like, there's one bit where Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard are in. They've found out that the company they've been working for is actually trying to take, not trying to save the dinosaurs, they're trying to sell them or weaponize them or something.
Weird, they've never done that before.
Yeah. What could go wrong?
But there's a bit where the trailer opens and they're inside the T-Rex bit with a sleeping T-Rex. And you're like,
good scene as well.
They're like, don't worry, it's Trank. But the only thing I was thinking is, what's the end game in that scene?
How much Trank do you need to take down a T-Rex?
What's he doing? Where are they getting him from? Because he's inside. Presumably, they're not trying to tow that thing away. Because he's inside. Why are they if they're trying to tow it away, why is he inside the cage? What are they going to do? Pick him up and pick her up and move it?
I don't understand what your problem is with this. He's got in to look after it. I don't know. Maybe it's got a scratch.
No, he hasn't got in to look after it. They've got in to free it because they're like being quiet and stuff like that.
I thought it was just not to wake it up.
Isn't it the T-Rex that's saving them at the end? Spoilers.
But that's the scene.
Jurassic World 1.
So basically, I think this scene happens after they found out, oh, we've been trying to save these dinosaurs.
Oh, and then they're trying to free it.
So they're trying to free it.
Oh.
What's their end game there? Like dragging it out?
That is weird.
Yeah.
Just waking it up? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't get that at all.
The reason I was confused is because you said you were going to do a beat-for-beat rundown of what this film was, and then you jumped three quarters of the way through the film.
No, I said I wasn't going to do it. I said I wasn't going to do it. Right, okay. That was interesting.
I'm up for it, though.
Nah. the thing that... There was one shot, which I loved, and, like, whatever you think about these military people, I kind of feel like they must be kind of half good at that job. They've been hired to do that. But you've got to think, like, right, you're transporting these really deadly predators. Mm. There's one shot, right, where they're transporting, I think it looks like the T-Rex, in, like, a cage, and they're flying it out, mm-hmm. and this T-Rex is asleep. There's another one where they're, like, chopping it in another dinosaur, and the dinosaur's just fucking flailing about in the air. Put it to sleep before you put it on the helicopter. That's, like, it's mad.
Such a weird decision.
It's so weird, because, like, if you watch it, it's a cool, you're like, oh, that's a really cool shot. And you're like, why is that dinosaur alive?
I guess the only way... Alive? Yeah. Wait, when you're asleep, do you think you're dead?
What happened?
Like, the only thing I can, if I'm going to be nerdy about it, is it that they just don't know how much tranquilizer you need to give to a dinosaur because they're not existing animals.
Right. Work out how much you think it needs to have, double it, and that's how much you give it.
You get there and there's all these dead animals.
Yeah, there's one guy who's going,
We'll knock a quarter off. Yeah. 3 million for the dead ankylosaur.
Yeah, it's like, well, you can still eat it. It's still fine to eat.
That's the thing. That would be the black market, is there would be one, like, downtown burger shop.
Well, I really hope now. So basically what's happened is then, so they're taking them all back to what we assume is, I guess, America. Mm. And there's a big auction scene where they're auctioning them off, which is exactly like a scene that happens in the second Purge film. They auction off these, because that's what the second Purge film is about. It's basically... the purge has happened, but rich people want to kill, but they don't want to go out to the street. I'm definitely told this story before on the podcast. So what happens is there's these like kill squads that go around grabbing people off the streets, taking them to this mansion. Then all these rich people bid on them, and then they go out, and it's basically like a sort of most dangerous game type thing. But this is almost exactly, it looks exactly like that room as well.
I'd like if they twist it. It's a good premise for a Bond film.
Yeah.
Like mad bastards buying dinosaurs.
That was so good.
And
we were saying this yesterday. My theory
Daniel
that's
Craig turns up.
My theory
that's the name of the podcast. That's the title of the podcast. Mad Bastards 007. Mad Bastards buying dinosaurs.
My like theory that definitely I like wish theory is that what's happening is Goldblum buys all of those and releases them as this is chaos. This is what you've done.
He's definitely only in that court scene though, isn't he? Because in the two trailers they've shown him in one place.
I think they're gonna do that scene and then they're gonna bring him back for the end, because that's the only bit I haven't worked out the last like 15
I reckon that Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard will survive, and all the kids.
They've got
probably.
It for the trilogy, I think.
And probably a dinosaur will help them.
Yeah. Blue will be dead by the end, but will have made a heroic sacrifice.
Yes.
The Babadook Velociraptor, as I'm calling it, is going to be dead.
That would be really interesting. I know like we talk about the Purge a lot, but... like.
Talk about the Purge a lot.
It would be awesome to have like these weird little spin-offs of Jurassic Park. Because that's the good thing about the Purge films, is someone made the Purge film, and then a bunch of other people have gone, ooh... but what about if this happened? And what you're saying is right. It's like they're trying to sell. So we've worked out from that that they're trying to sell these dinosaurs. An ankylosaurus cost $6 million. Or 4.6 million pounds, which I think is actually quite reasonable.
That's a steal.
I'm not saying that I have that money. No, but
we could pull it together, though, between
us. I feel like we could. Like, how much they fucking raise for ukulele?
Feasibly, Ziff Davis could buy an ankylosaur.
Absolutely.
I mean, they'd have to get rid of us.
Well, I
think it's a small price to pay. I feel like, I'm not being funny, if you had an ankylosaur, right, and you just had a video and like a camera on it all day, that would be take more views and make more money than all of IGN.
And it was, you just had to pay like, it's Netflix, but yes, for one watching for one dinosaur.
I fucking would. Yeah. I've got £6 out coming out that I'm not going to miss.
Yeah,
fair enough.
£8 if you want it in 4K.
$9.99 a month if you want your mum to be able to watch at the same time.
There's a kid's version where you can't see it's shit.
They've turned, it's not even a slow evolution. They've just turned BD Wong into criminal mastermind. Yeah, like one shot of him, he's so evil.
He's like so a Bond
villain. In the original one, he was quite smiley.
He's a lovely man.
Also, there's an amazing bit with BD Wong, and he just looks like he's just cultivating a massive dinosaur dick. Because it's just this long, weird dick. And his face is like, yeah,
BD Wong. Exactly,
this is what I've always wanted. Squares wouldn't let me.
Like, how much did ukulele raise on Kickstarter?
Oh, loads, mate.
Like, enough for a dinosaur.
It's fine. It's a good game. Is it an ankylosaur?
No,
it is not. But yeah, so
is it an ankylosaur?
But it would be awesome if you had this, like, you know, oh, like the rich people talking about what you can do with yours. I'm gonna fucking eat every single part
of it. I'm gonna try toes.
Heston Blumenthal making ice cream out of ankylosaurs.
But so I don't know what the end game is there, because it feels like they just go, right, we've got all these dinosaurs, you know, the ones that, are they the ones that went mental in that park? It's sort of, but you say mental, but I say trank them up.
This is the thing, right? It's, we've got all these ideas for like the spin-off bits that would be really fun. Colin Trevorrow came out yesterday and said, oh, Jurassic World 3 will be more like the original Jurassic Park. So you're like, oh, what? So we know all the dinosaurs go back to an island. Great. Like, there's no.
No, he didn't say more like Jurassic Park. He said it would be more like.
He said in tone.
Scientific thriller. Yeah, science thriller.
Whereas this is going to be the same thriller, apparently.
It just feels like all the horror's happening in that little girl's bedroom.
Yeah.
Which is, I feel pretty bad for her.
Well, yeah. Like, that shot of the claw coming towards her is brilliant.
Yeah,
that's
a great shot.
That's Owlman.
I would assume that was a dream.
If the dinosaur did actually just rip her head off, that would be a lovely twist.
It wouldn't be a lovely twist.
It'd be like they've actually done it. Someone's actually going to die in this film, apart from the lad on the toilet.
Standing up in the cinema, clapping.
Spielberg didn't have the balls.
Yeah? Do it. Surprise me.
Biona finally went where Spielberg never would.
That's the thing. You know what? I thought I like Jurassic World. This looks like it's gonna be nuts, but I am properly up for it.
Well, see, I didn't like Jurassic World, and I am up for this, I was surprised.
I enjoyed
by.
Jurassic World; thought it was perfectly fine.
I feel like it's hard to look at these trailers and not just go. I feel like it's easy to go look and go, "What the fuck is going on? This looks shite." I think it's. I don't know how anyone can look at that trailer and not go, fucking yes, here we fucking go.
Or just like, I want to see what the fuck they're doing.
Yeah.
Like the bit with the plesiosaur under the wave while all the people
that
are on
is
it.
That's an incredible shot.
That's brilliant.
That's going to be the opening of the film, isn't that thing?
You reckon?
Yeah.
Does it get out at the end of Jurassic World? That
don't know. It doesn't. Well, this is the thing.
If the island's getting destroyed, maybe it escapes from the island's getting destroyed, and then that's the like it goes fine.
Well, if you look at the shot at the beginning of the trailer, it the Mosasaurus has fucked up its enclosure.
Mm.
The bridge is still there, and there's a shot of it later on where it's going up, and it looks like it's by a bridge that's been like fucked over, and it goes up for like a helicopter.
Yeah.
And it does look like that's the bridge that the monorail went in on Jurassic World. Mm-hmm. So assuming he's just still knocking about there, but then she must obviously get out, because I think that's probably what we see.
Maybe it's the Meg. Maybe it's a crossover.
Hopefully not.
I love the brass balls on Biona to be like, oh, what? I'm doing a Jurassic World film. I'll just chuck Jaws in there as well. Yeah. Why not? Let's go. That's good.
Do what Spielberg didn't and kill the kids.
Kill the kids.
So we had that. We had Deadpool 2 trailer, the final trailer as well. But before that comes out, we all kind of like that.
It's all right. I'm I think I'm on record officially of not being the biggest Deadpool fan.
Yeah, I didn't think I thought the first one was fine.
Yeah, I thought it was fine.
I really liked it.
Did you?
And yeah. I'm well into the idea of this one.
Like,
so,
Cooper's review on IGN for first Deadpool is fine. Like, it's good. It's a 7, I think. Like, yeah. There's some good bits in it. There's lots of really good bits in this trailer that made us really
I enjoyed
laugh.
The trailer, yeah.
One of my big sort of is that it all seems to take place on that one motorway again.
Yeah.
Just that one grey flyover they've paid for.
They do love some grey bits in Deadpool films. It's like lots of fun and japes, and then all the action films are like a junkyard and a road. And that seems to be the same thing.
It does look like that's where it's taking place again.
The thing that excites me about this one is it feels like, and this might be wrong, that they're pushing more towards, let's see how many obscure X-Men things we can get in here. So like Shatterstar's turning up, which is mental. Like we have an inkling that Juggernaut might be in it based on a couple of small things in that trailer.
Some sleuthing we did yesterday.
Did sleuthing.
You see a Vinnie Jones shirt on the wall.
Didn't see any Vinnie Jones.
The Wales one.
But that's the thing. If Juggernaut turns up, there's no way they're not making fun of Vinnie Jones, which I'm waiting for that joke by itself.
I was going to say, Deadpool will say bitch to him.
Yeah.
He will.
Guaranteed.
And it will be great.
I'm a Juggernaut, bitch.
And Peter's in it. And Peter's clearly the best new X-Man recent years.
So this is Rob Delaney. We saw him in the first one, so there's a lot of, just a tiny little shot of him.
Yeah.
And then there's a lot of speculation about who he might be playing or what kind of mutant he is. And we get a reveal of this at the end of this trailer that he's just a normal dude who saw the ad. He's just like, hey, I want to turn up. So Peter, normal dude Peter, Joe found today. We'll read some of these out for you guys. Joe found today. Peter, at PeterW_1974, has got his own Twitter account.
And he's had a Twitter account since the start of April.
And he's just been posting. So this is a couple of tweets from at PeterW_1974. Spill some Axe body spray on my Bible. Can't even look myself in the mirror right now. #ashamed.
If you follow Rob Delaney, it's just Rob Delaney tweets. It's brilliant. I really enjoyed. There's a few recurring themes. He's a beekeeper. Mm-hmm. His wife's Susan, and she's probably cheating on him, but he doesn't realise.
Yeah.
And he loves National Geographic and sending them photoshops of unusual animals.
He loves the web.
But there's one bit. There's one. He's retweeted Africa Geographic, and it's just a hyena cub suckling, and it just says, "This looks awesome."
#wild.
So really, #wild.
And another one that I really liked is this trio of tweets that all came across 2 days. Watching underwater lava this afternoon on the web. It's mesmerizing and so relaxing. She follows up with, still watching underwater lava. Has anyone else seen underwater lava?
That is 2 days later.
Yeah, 2 days later. And then the third one. A school of fish just swam by the underwater lava. How do the fish know when to turn at the same time like that? Maybe the school has a principal who tells them when. #naturewonders. #ILoveAGoodLaugh.
That's
#humor. #IThinkSusanIsCheating.
And then this one, then. He's quote retweeted Beekeeper's Guide, who they said, how to prepare your bees for the cold winter months. And he's quote retweeted that with, I spend so much time beekeeping, my wife thinks I'm cheating on her with the bees. That would be painful. For the bee, lol. #beekeeperjokes. #seriously, I love my wife.
So he's definitely going to be the best bit of that film.
I think he is, will. Yeah.
He's quite good.
Wait, where's the running order? Lost the running order, lads.
Oh, I don't know.
See, what's happened is we've printed everything double-sided, which is absolutely confused everyone here.
Right.
Do you know what I think was next?
Oh, I got it.
Oh, go on.
I was briefly confused by the double-sidedness.
Oh.
I'm really excited for it. I think it'll be a good laugh. It's one of those, I think, have 3 pints, go see it with a couple of mates, and then have a good laugh.
I think that's exactly how I feel about Jurassic. Yeah.
Actually, we say that about every single fucking film.
It'd be a bit of fun, wouldn't it? Bit of fun.
It's a bit of fun, isn't it?
It's a bit of fun.
And another thing. We've been talking in Carly has some, I don't want to say out and out racist, but questionable opinions about that, about a lot of things. And he's thinking about starting.
That is a joke, by the way.
He's thinking about starting. What's that fucking dude who left? Kind of funny. what's his name?
Colin Moriarty.
Yeah, Cardi's thinking about starting a Colin Moriarty style YouTube channel called And Another Thing.
I mean, you've created this all for me, but I'll still be up for it.
Do you know, I thought about this on the bus home yesterday. I was like, what would the thumbnail be?
Just me pointing, looking angry.
Well, one of them for The Opinion, which goes out on a Friday. Friday things. And it's just you pointing. Yeah. But then you've got a cheeky side as well. So like sometimes the thumbnail is you turned around with a big coat on, looking behind you like that, going, and another thing.
I like Monday moan as well, where I just moan about something.
I like the idea of you with a world map with a thumbs down.
Just a wall of flags.
With X's
my face
through
going,
loads of countries.
It's a world map with an X through every single
country except
for England.
Yeah. Why are we branding me as a casual racist? I'm not. This isn't me.
Oh, no, this is much more than casual.
This is quite considered.
You're a troubled man.
I would say starting a disgusting YouTube channel for your own disgusting opinions is a little bit more than casual.
Pervert.
You don't do that casually. That takes effort. You've got to get your subs so you can get your custom URL and to put thumbnails on. Mate, that's a fucking schlep.
You can't get your subs.
Yeah. Well, it's good.
What are we doing? Oh, yeah. Swords of Ditto. Joe and I have been playing it.
Yeah, that's delightful, isn't it?
I played this a couple of E3s ago. I think I've banged on about it before, but at the lovely Devolver lot in E3, which is like the nicest place ever. Just like party music going on, lots of beer, lots of barbecue, and in a boiling hot LA, you have these caravans.
Airstream caravans
with amazing air conditioning. And I played Swords Ditto, which is done by a guy who's worked in the UK games for ages. Like, he did
Stealth Bastard, Stealth Inc.
Hydro Venture. Which is one of the fucking best games on 3DS. It was so good. You're a bit of water and it's a puzzle game.
The original one on Wii's gone now because the Wii shop closed.
Oh, yeah.
Dead.
That is actually generally sad. But yeah, that was really good. But the original one on Wii, you had to fucking tilt the Wii remote
to
control the water. No. That's some good shit, man. And he's made a game called Swords of Ditto for Devolver, which is... I was trying to explain it yesterday, and I guess you would say it's like an action RPG, maybe?
Well, it's like a procedurally generated 2D Zelda.
Yes,
is how I would try and describe
but
it.
Looks, but also, in your head, if you're thinking Devolver, procedurally generated, 2D, you're thinking fucking
pixels.
Everywhere. It's not. It's like they've got actual people who can draw on this one. They made all their money from Hotline Miami and now they've put it all into actual art.
They've smoothed it out.
That's not true.
It's like
it's stunning.
Yeah, it's like Cartoon Network style cartoon art. It's amazing.
It looks like Adventure Time from what I've seen.
It's
mad that it fits together as a procedurally generated game. I keep looking for breaks in it, trying to just go, nah, it doesn't work. And you go, oh, fuck, it always does. It's amazing.
And the story is basically you're a hero, you're the Sword of Ditto, and you're trying to stop a naughty person, but every time you die, 100 years goes by.
Yeah, and you wake up as a different person.
Incarnation of the Sword of Ditto. You have to go get your sword. But you also only have 4 days to kill the bad guy. So...
And I think a day's like 10 minutes?
Yeah.
Something like that.
So it's kind of Majora's Mask as well.
It's got a bit of that too.
Yeah, it's got a bit of that.
But it doesn't have like the complex story stuff and like rewinding time and things. It's literally just a countdown, basically. Yeah. But it's a cool way of doing it. And there's differences at night and day. Like you can get upgrades that mean you do more damage in daytime. So you go out and try and do as much as you can in that time and things like that.
I really like the upgrade system as well. Like, it's basically you're basically running around with a sword, essentially, killing things, which are fucking cool little monsters as well running about the place. But you get the way you power up is you get stickers, which give you like cool little power ups, but you also get toys. And these toys can be like anything from a little like pop gun to a fucking massive gorilla hand that comes from the sky and kills a bunch of stuff. I've only played, I reckon, like 5-6 hours of it or something like that. So I generally have no idea how close I am.
Have you still only died once?
No, I think I've died more than once.
Okay. Because I just died loads really early on. And then I asked you, like, oh, how are you surviving so much? You're like, I don't know, just
better
try.
Just
running away.
But I think I was being a bit more boring with it. It was like, as soon as I was... But I don't think necessarily this is the way to play it. I was being a little bit more boring in the sense of, like, I was trying to level up. And then when I was running out of food... and running out of health, I was then using the quick travel, which is a kazoo bus.
Yeah, you blow a kazoo and a magic bus appears and takes you away.
I love kazoos.
Such a satisfying a bit of music as well.
Yeah.
And all the music, to be fair, is fucking incredible. And then I was going back to town, getting my food, then going back as well. So I think I was playing in quite a boring way.
It uses this one instrument, or like synth instrument, that I've only ever heard in Animal Crossing soundtracks before. And so every time it plays...
What is it?
I don't know what it is. It's this very particular noise.
Yeah.
I've only ever heard it used in Animal Crossing. And so now I just associate those games immediately in my head because that's the only thing it's connected to.
I got a kazoo once in a Happy Meal and it was one of the best days of my life.
That's pretty good.
Back to this. Yeah. it's actually fucking nails as well.
It's really hard because I thought, like, it looks like a kid's game. Yeah. It was written like a kid's game.
Yeah.
And then you start playing and it just kicks your ass immediately. It's ridiculous.
But also, like, the puzzles in the dungeons, there's a couple of bits where I've just gone, am I being an idiot? Because it obviously doesn't come out yet. So there's no, like, guides or anything. I've got to the point where I was like, because I don't like looking at guides. I got to the point where I was like, I would 100% be looking at a guide right now.
Yeah.
Because some of the puzzles are fucking horrible.
I also don't know if those puzzles are procedurally generated. Like, I don't know what level we're working up to with this. Like, is it creating its own puzzles every time you play?
And you can play it co-op as well, can't you? I think it is.
Well, people keep saying this. I've seen no proof of that.
I have it in my head that it's a co-op game.
Yeah,
like in your head. That's not a factual source. Should I look it up?
I text Robbie, the guy who gave us the codes, being like, oh yeah, I'm really having a good time with it. And he texts back going, yeah, it's really good with two players.
Oh right,
yeah,
it is.
I haven't seen... All right. But I haven't seen an option
for that. I think
that
was one of the main sales of it, that it's a great co-op game.
Swords of Ditto multiplayer.
Yeah, it definitely
is. I think it's a great, like, it's supposed to be a brilliant couch co-op game.
It definitely is. I've just seen no option of it.
Yeah, it's co-op.
Yeah.
We should play it.
How'd you do that?
I don't know. it might be one of those things where you literally just press X on a second controller.
It's really good so far. Like, it's one of those things as well. And I have actually given the developer a little bit of shit on Twitter for it as well. Every time you tweet for a bit, I would go in like, get on the Switch, mate. Come on. But actually, I don't, as much as obviously it looks like something you would enjoy on the Switch, I was so engaged with it the first time I did it. I don't necessarily think that it would be perfect for the Switch. I think you could play it on the Switch.
It doesn't lend itself to handheld play in as much as like... a 10-minute burst, you're actually not going to achieve that much because you've got to travel quite a lot between places. Yeah. That's the benefit of not dying, by the way, because it deletes your map and creates a new map every time you die, which is annoying in a good way. It teaches you not to die.
Yeah.
But I think, I mean, to say it's not good for the Switch kind of ignores the fact that you can still plug your Switch in.
I think, so the reason I'm not saying it's not good for the Switch, but I think what people think is, oh, that's a commuting game. I'm going to play that on my computer.
Whereas
I don't necessarily think this game necessarily ends up that. But then, to be fair, now there's fucking Dark Souls. They're sticking out on it. Yeah, eventually.
Ooh,
one day.
Crazy.
Battle Royale mode, according to you.
And another thing.
Get your fucking Switch version on.
When's it out? Is it out now?
Swords Ditto is out on... if you listen to this, it's out on Tuesday. Next week. So by the
24th.
This, maybe... this, like, I don't know if people listen to these like retrospectively,
maybe.
Like, or do they just listen to it on a weekend or not? I don't know.
I don't know.
Imagine binging this; that would be fucking annoying.
What's happening? Well, it's so timely. We're always talking about stuff we're doing right then.
Yeah.
So you listened to it 2 years ago.
Speaking of things doing right now, I'm going to talk about a program that came out about 20 years ago.
But thinking about that, I do. If anyone does listen to these, like. Is like behind or something like that, I would like to know. IGN is going to give feedback at IGN.com because I can't imagine. Are you getting much out of it? Because you'd be like,
I think you are.
Imagine if someone's listening to this like 2 years later.
Yeah. Right now.
Tweet us if Twitter's still going.
You can still. And they'll be going, the child did die in Jurassic Park.
Can you imagine if someone's listening to this like 20 years in the future and one of us is dead? And they're like, oh, yeah, Cardi, I just listened to it. And they're like, you go to it and like, oh, he died like 5 years ago.
Well, that's a bit morbid.
Can you imagine that?
That's a bit young for me.
Yeah.
I've been watching The Sopranos.
little indie show that's coming out.
Yeah.
It's good,
isn't
it?
It's absolutely incredible, but I probably don't need to tell people that because it is regarded as the best TV show of all time in most official sounding lists.
Except for the people who watch Breaking Bad who've never seen Sopranos and they think Breaking Bad's better, but it's not.
Yeah. You can see it where a lot of it's come from.
Yeah.
But I just kind of wanted to say, Because I've done. Well, I've been wanting to watch it.
Well done Italians.
Yeah.
Well done to James Gandolfini. Hope I get to meet him one day.
He's one of the biggest racist characters I've seen in any show.
Oh my God.
Love him.
This is literally what we were just talking about. We were just talking about if someone is watching something 20 years in the future and someone has died. You literally.
Talk about James Gandolfini?
Gandolfini.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Gandolfini.
Brilliant, isn't he?
That is really sad.
Because I've been wanting to watch it for years and years. And it's the kind of thing, I'm sure we've all done it. I saw it's like 86 episodes. I'm like, I'm not starting that now. And now I end up watching like 4 20-minute programs, which I don't care about.
420, baby.
Yeah, it is 420 today.
I never see that. Really? I know a lot of people will be like, oh, I don't want to do that. It's got six seasons. Like, for me, that's like, fucking yes, it's got six seasons of that shit.
I've never watched Lost, and I think I'd enjoy it. But I look at all of that, and I'm like, I'm never going to get around
I'm thinking about rewatching
it. But so many shows also, where people are like, you got to watch first 15 before you're into it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, fuck
that's
that.
Right. I watched the first 1 to 2 Sopranos, and I was like, I'm hooked. And I literally watched the first 3 seasons in about 2 weeks. So
I do get that, because people go, oh, you got to watch the first series, but then it starts to get really good. Mate, you've had 24 hours to get me into it. If you can't get me into it, I'm not doing
it. Like, I think that's people say that about The West Wing and stuff.
Exactly,
Well,
I was talking to Kruf about this, and he did that in university. He started it and just binged it all in like 2 months. But there's probably a reason people say these are great things, is what I'm saying. And turns out they are.
Is it easy to get hold of?
Sopranos.
I've got it because I have a Now TV subscription.
Ooh.
In my household. So I've been watching it all on that.
You mean your mum's got a Now TV subscription?
No, I actually pay for it.
You do?
Gavin.
And another thing.
Wales.
I pay my own Now TV. I paid my way.
Mum and Dad have to get her own.
I got a free 3-month subscription for it, and I just didn't cancel.
Oh, right. I thought you were going to say you're going to do it all in 3 months.
You know, $7.99 a month to watch all of The Sopranos. If that takes me 2 months, I'll pay £16 to watch all of The Sopranos.
That's a really good point, actually.
Yeah.
How much
Blu-rays?
Yeah.
All the wires on there. Now TV is good, actually. It sounds like I'm selling Now TV.
Yeah, it does.
They have The Wire.
I had for a bit because I wanted to watch that Nathan For You that Powers was going on about. But I thought the software was fucking terrible.
It's not brilliant. Yeah. I watch it. The PS4 app's all right, actually. Okay. So I watch it through.
It's like I never watch Amazon Prime stuff because that app on all formats
always
is
out of
the
sync.
Worst fucking thing. Not least because you can filter it all to be like, I don't want to pay for anything. I just want the stuff included with it. Yeah. You turn the filter on and then go search for something else. It turns the filter off. Yeah. You fucking mad.
It's not a good app.
What's been your favourite episode so far, Cardi?
Oh, that's a hard question.
So where are you up to? Season 3?
I just finished season 3 yesterday. Okay. The Pine Barrens episode is brilliant, isn't it?
Which one is that?
That's the one where they're out in the snow.
Oh, yeah, that's fucking hilarious.
I know that's considered to be a great one.
Yeah.
The one, because that one's also funny. Mm. It's much funnier than I thought it would be.
It's really funny.
It's basically 70 hours of Goodfellas. And if someone had told me that 10 years ago, I would have watched it all.
I feel like they're a little bit funnier than Goodfellas. Because I'd be honest, like, when I watched Goodfellas, I never thought these guys are funny. I hated them. Whereas Sopranos, I go through phases where I actually generally like quite a lot of people. Like Silvio, I fucking love.
He's brilliant, isn't he? And you told me, I did not know that he was not an actor. He's just Bruce Springsteen's guitarist. Yeah. That's absolutely insane.
Isn't that true? Because then obviously, like, all the people who made it are from, like, New Jersey and that kind of world, and they love Bruce Springsteen. And, I think the story is they were trying to cast this guy, and they're all mates, so they went out to watch Bruce Springsteen. They were like, should we just get him?
Yeah.
So,
I've got 3 seasons left, and I imagine the rest will be brilliant.
Is it only 6 seasons?
It is, because I think they've amalgamated the second one, because it's like Mad Men did at the end.
Yeah.
Like, 2-parter. Mm. But seriously, I know I'm only halfway through. It's seriously thrown into the mix. Is it better than Mad Men? I don't know.
The good thing about it, though, is when I saw that you started watching it, like, I texted you saying, like, you'll see the parallels, and you can see the people who worked on Sopranos then went on to work on and then went on to create Mad Men, because the parallels between everything that's going on, you have this horrible person who you can't help but love doing horrible things all the time.
Yeah.
I feel like Don Draper is slightly easier to love than Tony Soprano is, because Tony Soprano is homophobic, racist, and just
murderer.
hits his wife quite a lot. Like,
he's not a nice
man. He's not a nice man. Whereas I feel like Don Draper is a little, like, he's just having a laugh.
Because I'd watched all of Boardwalk Empire.
He's having a little drink.
For someone who's watched Mad Men several times through.
And what I took from it is, it's a night. He's having a laugh.
He's having a nice little drink.
Because Boardwalk Empire is one of my absolute favourite shows of all time. Obviously, that's linked to that. And watching it the wrong way around, some would say. But they're both absolutely brilliant.
It's good,
good stuff. Don't be afraid to go back and watch stuff.
Do you know stuff that happens, though? Have you had stuff spoiled?
I kind of know the end of the last episode, but I also know that's slightly ambiguous, so it's not really ruined for me. I don't know who's alive at the end and who's not.
Well, I've had Gav telling me to watch Sopranos for 6 years, and I will continue not to. But out of sheer spite.
You hadn't watched Mad Men, and then you watched Mad Men.
Yeah, I know.
It seriously is.
But that's because I'd started Mad Men a few times and gone, I'm not sure about this, and then you insisted that it was good. And it was.
Do you like watching people eat pasta?
Oh my God, the food in it is incredible.
I like Aziz Ansari's.
There's a lot of baked ziti.
Master of None. That's a lot of pasta eating.
There's a lot of pasta in there. It's really good. But then there's a lot of pasta in it, but at least Aziz Ansari's eating it, and you're like, oh, sweet, that guy's still in good shape, and he's still a beautiful man. They're eating the pasta, and you're like, I don't want to look like that.
And another thing.
And another thing. What else, Cardi?
What else?
Go on.
Get it over with.
Get it over with.
No, because I want to tell
you. Yeah, I think you've played it more than me.
Might have.
Ye old Football Manager on Switch.
Yay!
That's what you've been on holiday for a week. And did Football Manager on Switch coming out ruin your holiday?
No, because it came out 2 days before I left.
Okay.
And I didn't get a code for it until the day I left.
Right.
So and I had a 6-hour train journey, and it was
That would be perfect.
Amazing. Like I don't remember that train journey happening because I was in the world of Sheffield Wednesday.
Nothing makes journeys fly by like Football Manager.
It's mad. It just disappears.
Two matches, you're there. Wherever you're going, you're there. The moon, you're there.
Not sure that's how time works, but
I was in the quiet carriage and managed to sign Andrea Pirlo on a free for Sheffield Wednesday.
It wasn't a quiet carriage for
long. I had to stop myself from yelling. Like, grabbed my mate who I was travelling with, just like,
I've got a world-class register.
He's like, your mate is like that. I actually brought some cards. I thought we could maybe have a little game of trumps on the way. You talk know about our feelings. Like, shut up, I got a pillow.
Genuinely, I played the best long game ever. I was like, I'd seeded the whole holiday. You've got to watch Wild Wild Country. You've got to watch Wild Wild Country. Downloaded the whole thing on my iPad, just gave it to him and sat on a different seat. Like, fuck off.
You didn't sit on the same seat as him?
Well, we had two sets of seats. Across the aisle. It was very good.
Nice.
It's basically like giving Peppa Pig to your kid. Yeah. Shut up. You watch that. Daddy's working.
Have a look at old show. I'm going over here.
You watch that. I've got a batter Barnsley.
I've got business.
But it's good. It's a stripped down version. It's streamlined.
Why is it a stripped down version? I don't get that.
Because it's the iPad version that they've put on the Switch, basically. Which is it's very similar to full game, but it takes a lot of some of the minutiae out. Some of them aren't minutiae, like team talks.
Yeah.
So you basically don't have to worry about team morale or anything. It's basically all about buying players and tactics.
The thing I don't understand. I don't understand why they've put... I think that, for me, sounds like it's a fundamental misunderstanding of what the Switch is by the people who've ported it over, because they've gone, right, it's a portable thing, we'll stick the iPad version on it, rather than go in...
I think it'd be very hard to put the full version on
it. I honestly think it's a processing thing, because if you turn on three nations, which I did, so that you get as big a pool of players as possible, it slows it down significantly.
Does it?
Like, it's a slow game.
They've made it, so it's not... So the Football Manager is confusing. There's the full version, there's the touch version, which is the iPad and now Switch version, also the mobile version, which is the... No, don't play the mobile
one. And another thing,
because that doesn't have the 3D match engine. You're basically just watching text. That is a database simulator.
Yeah. That's what Dale...
I'll give people
that's
that.
What Dale plays.
Yeah. It's all right, isn't it?
I really like it. The only things I actually miss from it are scouting is a bit less in depth, and I really like scouting for
especially if you're a lower
players
team,
from everywhere. Yeah, and the team talks feels like you have way less control over how a game plays
if
out.
If a game's going wrong, I feel like there's nothing I can do to turn it around.
Getting rid of having to deal with tons of staff contracts and individual coaching and training and stuff. Like, I'm not interested in that. I always automate that anyway. So to have it automated is just fine for me.
Yeah,
I'm just not as interested in the tiny little bits.
It feels like no one can defend him on the Switch either. Like,
I had about
four games that have been 7-4.
Yeah, I've had some big results.
Which
is weird.
Insane.
I do feel like I'm better at the game, which I like. It's good, innit?
It's good.
How much is it? 20-something?
$29.99.
It's budgety, which is all right.
For something you could easily sink 100 to 200 hours in.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
I've and that put is the perfect. In. If you can't be bothered to take your laptop onto a, like a long haul flight and sit it on a little table and try and crouch play it like I've done many times, having that on the Switch is perfect. Yeah.
Who are you playing as?
I went for Spurs on my Switch.
Did you?
Just because I didn't do one on the full version. Ooh, I normally do that straight away. So, yeah, it's a bit of fun. I'm having a shocker, though, out of the Champions League, ninth in the league.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. But Wenger's gone, so that's funny.
And another thing. Little game I like to call Keyword Countdown. Keyword Countdown. Time for Keyword Countdown. It's Keyword Countdown. Time for Keyword Countdown. It's Keyword Countdown.
If you don't know what Keyword Countdown is, IMDb categorizes their films via a bunch of crazy keywords. What I've done, or what a man, hopefully he's put his name at the end of it, which he hasn't, has done, is taken five films, 10 keywords apiece. You guys have to guess what the film is by those keywords. Oh, I haven't got my phone, so I can't even say his name. And
let's call him Tony Soprano.
Tony Soprano sent this in. And what the link is. The link is really good. Got to think about it. Got to think about it.
Got to use
but
your brain.
It's a good, good link. That's why I've chosen this one. Here we go. Film number one.
I'm so confused.
Based on novel.
Great Gatsby.
Non-linear timeline.
Memento.
Prestige.
Two-word title.
The Prestige.
Media Circus.
The Post?
Sex in a Library.
Gone Girl?
Yes!
Oh, nice.
Well done. Well done, Cardi.
Did you get that after
Sex in a
Library? I got
that before.
Yeah, because it was so quick. I was like, you don't know that scene that well.
I don't even remember that scene.
I'm giving that to you on Sex in a Library because I'd already moved on.
Okay, fair enough.
6 points, one
I don't even remember the Sex in a Library scene.
It's fucking weird.
Oh, I do now.
Oh.
It's a library in someone's house, isn't it? It's not an
no,
is it a public
actual,
library?
It's a public library, mate. They're fucking going for it. I actually think it might be Sex in a Bookshop.
Oh, okay.
I don't think it's an actual library. Throat slitting, woodshed, framed for murder, psychological manipulation, missing wife.
Oh, I wouldn't have got that till the last one. Yeah.
Here we go. Well, it's a good film.
It's a good film.
I liked it.
It's a good film.
It's so good. It's all right.
I used to watch it on airport, planes all the time because it's really quiet.
All the time.
I think it's a problem when the most famous thing your film is famous for is the guy who plays Madea is serious in it, and that's it. Like, that's what everyone went on about when it came out. You know, he does like, he's what's he called? Kevin?
Oh, Tyler Perry.
Tyler Perry.
Yeah, yeah.
And he does all those films where he plays Madea.
Right.
And he's like an old grandmother.
All right, okay, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And everyone's like, wow, look at him go. He's playing
I've
a serious
never heard
character.
About this. I can't be the most.
Yeah,
famous.
I don't really
what?
Know about
That's
this
the thing.
Film. I don't really know who Tyler Perry is, so oh, when gosh. He turned up now, I was like, oh, I just thought he was good.
I just went, it's
Boo,
a
Madea Halloween
a
1 and yeah. 2. Come on, guys.
Nice.
Cultural artifacts.
I think it's good. Like, I think it's brilliant.
It's fun. Yeah. I didn't. Maybe I just have high expectations for Fincher, and I thought it was good, not a brilliant Fincher.
I know, I thought it was top. I don't think it's fucking Zodiac or Seven or Fight Club, but it is up there. Anyway, second film. Oh, this is hard. I've never seen this film. Good versus Evil.
Legion with Paul Bettany.
Imagine.
Coming of Age.
Good versus Dogma? No. Golden Child.
Sword and Fantasy. One day we will have the Golden Child on
Black
this.
Cauldron? Golden Child was on it once.
Was it?
Yeah, I got it.
Unrequited Love.
Not Princess Bride. Princess Bride?
Crouching Target.
Evil Prince.
Shrek.
You're along the right path, I think. I don't
Shrek
know.
2.
Not Shrek.
Barbarella?
With fucking...
Barbarella?
Magical Chain.
Never Ending Story.
Mm.
Dark Crystal.
Magical Flower.
Sleeping Beauty.
Witchcraft.
Return to Oz.
The Craft.
Shooting Star.
Oh, fuck. I feel like I know what that is.
Final clue. Gay Pirate.
What?
Nope.
Good versus Evil. Coming of Age. Sword and Fantasy. Unrequited Love. Evil Prince. Magical Chain. Magical Flower. Witchcraft. Shooting Star. Gay Pirate. Stardust.
Oh,
I never
seen it.
I never saw it. Yeah.
Never seen it.
I've seen the bit that Adam Buxton's in because I was like, I want to see Adam Buxton do it. That was it.
No points. But remember, guys, if you don't get it, it's more fun for the people at home.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Two-word title.
Prestige.
Guys, come on. Chained to a wall.
Saw 2.
Oh.
Saw 3.
Oh, God. Oh, no, that's Black Snake Moan. That's 3. She's chained to a wall.
Have you seen that?
No.
It's mental.
I've heard it's quite good.
It's utterly mental. Child in peril.
Panic Room.
Mm.
Overweight child.
The Babadook. Overweight child. The Goonies.
Yes.
Were
you going to say Goonies?
No. No, I
wasn't. Shut your mouth, then, Abel. Title spoken by character. Quest. Hawaiian shirt. 1980s. Treasure hunt. Pirate. The Goonies. Film number 4.
It's going to be in my head all day.
Bare-chested male.
Sherlock Holmes.
Beowulf.
I haven't seen this. And I would hazard that you guys haven't either.
Oh, we'll kill your monster.
Male re-nudity.
Full Monty.
Thelma and Louise.
Teen movie.
Mean Girls.
Oh, I don't know.
Character name in title.
Fast Days at Ridgemont High. Ferris Bueller.
Ferris Bueller's a good question. Good guess, was not one. Bloopers during credits.
Oh, come on. Teen movie with a
name and
Zach song. And Mary Make a Porno.
Oh, good guess. Fraternity House.
Oh, Van Wilder.
Yes.
Oh.
I give you it's Van Wilder Party Liaison, but you can.
Well, that's.
Yeah, I'll give
you've
you
never
that.
Seen
I'll
Van Wilder.
You've seen Van Wilder.
It starts with a great scene where an elderly Chinese woman looks like she's giving him a blowjob.
Excellent.
It's very funny.
You're 5 points me. To Joe.
I need a big comeback.
Gross out humor, diarrhea, dog penis, National Lampoon series, Van Wilder Party Liaison.
So really
Joe,
bad film.
Got that.
Joe is on 17 points.
What? That's not possible. I've
no,
only got
sorry,
two.
12 points. 12 points. 12 points, two guesses. Cardi, you're on 6 points with one guess.
Oh, I need
so
a
you need
fairly...
6 points.
Or a 5 and a link. Ooh.
You can get this.
Well, that feels like a clue.
No, I'm just marking where you need to get.
I swear to God, if it's there, will be blood. I won't.
Can you imagine?
You're just going to say
oil.
There we go.
Film number 5. Cult film.
Boogie Nights. Donnie Darko.
Fightin'.
Fight Club.
Fightin'.
Breakup.
The Fighter.
Goodfellas.
Video game reference.
Swingers. Oh, I thought that was going to be it.
Video game reference. Oh, Scott Pilgrim.
Yes!
Oh, nice. Breakup.
You've fucking done it as well. 10, 90, so much.
I feel like you gave me too long on that one.
13 points. So, Joe.
If I get the link,
if you get the
tied.
Link, you tied.
So, what are they?
So, here we go.
Again?
Guitarist, bleep dialogue, identical twins, comical female death, sword fight, Toronto, Canada.
Comical female death.
You know the type of people are looking at those fucking links.
I rewatched Scott Pilgrim recently.
It's
that film
good.
Holds up.
It's
very such
really
a good.
Good
film.
I need to watch it again.
I love it.
So, we've got Gone Girl, Stardust, The Goonies, Van Wilder, and Scott Pilgrim.
Are they all just based on books? Or comic series?
No.
They have...
What are their origins in magazines?
They have...
I'll give you a clue. Actually, no. It's just because you can get
they have
this.
Some with colourful hair in. They have someone...
You got to think about the, like, actors in them.
There were... People.
They're all superheroes.
Yeah. Oh, a couple of them are. But
I just guessed.
They were in Arrested Development.
I will give you that, Joe.
They're all Marvel superheroes.
Nah.
Do you want? No, I don't think I can give it to you.
Damn it!
Yeah.
They're all directing. They've all been... that's just wrong. What? I'm missing a couple. What were they? Actually, I don't know who's in Van Wilder.
They're all in Justice League.
The Goonies, Van Wilder, Scott Pilgrim, Gone Girl, and Stardust.
They're all in Deadpool. Actors in Deadpool. Fuck. There's
all dads of superheroes.
Well, because Goonies is.
They're all dead superheroes. I don't know. I just don't know.
Joe was closer.
I can't.
I can't
half
give
a point.
Think
half a point.
I can't give it to you.
I'm not taking half a point and still losing.
The link
is that each film has a major character who has played two different
superheroes. That's very good.
Okay, so Gone Girl, what we got?
Gone Girl's Affleck. Daredevil and Batman, yeah.
Yeah, technically Superman as well in that.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Stardust. Pfeiffer?
Yeah, Michelle Pfeiffer.
Who's she?
She's Catwoman.
She played the original Wasp in the next Ant-Man. In the next Ant-Man, apparently. That's the hard one.
That is hard.
Josh Brolin.
Yeah, Thanos and Cable,
And also Jonah Hex.
If you count that.
Yeah, if you count that.
Jonah Hex.
Remember that? Yeah. Oh God.
Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah. Deadpool, Green Lantern.
He's done a lot, hasn't he?
And in Scott Pilgrim, we got two technically.
Yeah, we've got
Chris Evans.
Yep. Oh, fuck, of course Chris Evans is in it.
Human Torch and Captain America. And then we got Brandon Routh, who played Superman and the Atom in Arrow Legends and Legends of Tomorrow.
I had no idea it was the Atom.
There you go.
There we go.
Good stuff.
Very good link. Mysterious person.
I hated that.
Good game. Right, we got some feedback then.
And another thing. Feedback.
This is apparently a long one, but... It's about
a longy but a goodie.
It's about football management games, so strap in.
It's following on from our series of bad gaming memories.
Oh, this is the bad gaming memories. I haven't been on the podcast for a bit. Garth Jackson. Okay, so let me set the scene. I'm in my first year of college, studying multimedia design, and the work was all carried out on Apple Macs. So with my student loan, I thought I'd best buy myself one of those fancy new iMacs. You know, the all-in-one color ones. I noticed that Championship Manager 99 to 2000 had just been released and was available on Mac, my favourite game. Huzzah! Big mistake. Champ Manager was my drug, my crack cocaine, and I was smoking that shit for 10 hours a day at times. I'd taken Leeds United to the pinnacle of football glory.
You guys think this person is funnier than I think he is.
Smoking that shit for 10 hours a day is something you would say. Yeah. I'd taken Leeds United to the pinnacle of football glory. Three league trophies, FA Cups, League Cups, and European Cups.
A success.
The only thing that eluded my grasp was the Champions League trophy. But I was close, so close. I made it to the final. Leeds United versus Internazionale for the 2008 Champions League trophy. The game finished all square. This meant extra time. That's the rules. Before I started extra time, I decided to get something to eat. I made a bowl of soup. It was the quickest and simplest thing that my student culinary skills could manage. Sat back down and kicked off the extra time. Amazingly, we scored two goals pretty quickly to take a 4-2
lead. The guy gets excited, tips soup over his Mac. That's got to be
it.
That's not quite it.
Well, and you're patient.
It's the journey, not the destination. Oh. Christian Vieri's in it in a minute. Oh. 15 more minutes for virtual minutes to glory. I would savour and eat this soup in celebration. Christian Vieri, however, had other plans. Straight from kickoff, the second... Now you can guess the end. Straight from kickoff, the second half. Inter crossed it in, scored with a header. I'm going to go up. Obviously, they get to 4-4.
Yep.
We'll take them on penalties, I told my imaginary assistant. Yeah, I'm really starting to lose it at this one. Penalties didn't come. Christian Vieri picked up
the ball. There's another page.
Christian Vieri... No. Vieri picked up the ball and, according to the champ manager text commentary, basically walked through my team, slotted it home for his hat trick. I lost my shit. Slammed my fists down straight onto the spoon in the bowl with the soup. You've ruined this. You really took the wind out of my sails.
Oh, and can't let anyone else have their fun, can we,
Gav? I'm bored of it.
He cleaned it all up while saying, I'm sorry, to a computer. But luckily, he'd saved all his college work to an external zip drive, which is a bit of old school detail that I really enjoyed. The computer could not be saved. I had to take it to be repaired and have the screen replaced. To do so, everything had to be wiped to reinstall the new screen and systems. I had to bust my balls to catch up with work. I never went back to Champ Manager. It hurt
too
much.
That's a bad memory.
Well, it is a bad memory.
You should go back because it's brilliant.
It's good when Gav ruins it just because he's bored.
That was so boring. He got excited and he tipped some soup on his computer. That's it.
It's really great. What a great host.
I am fed up of Championship Manager. I'm just going to say.
You're the one who wanted it to be a series. I never wanted this.
I'm playing the part of that person that keeps emailing you and going, please stop talking about Championship Manager.
I'd happily do it. Let's end it then.
This better not be about Championship
Manager. Last time I ended it, I got more emails saying bring it back.
This is from Ross Kay. My absolute worst game memory caused the end of my love of the Tomb Raider franchise, destroying years of happy memories. memories. It concerns the fourth game in the series, Tomb Raider: The Last Revelation. I bought every Tomb Raider game up until then and had many happy memories completing the first three games with my sisters and dad on many late nights. So I got to the last rev when it came out and immediately spent a good week and many, many hours going through the game with no help of any kind. Until, that is, I reached what a quick Google search tells me was level 21. It involves a section where you traverse the level on a motorcycle. At one point, I tried to jump a spike pit, but miscalculated and accompanied by one of Lara's trademark screams, plunged headfirst into the spikes. However,
we could have done without you commenting on it as well.
However, I somehow had managed to black out and whacked a bunch of keys during the fall in sheer panic and managed to save on the only save slot the exact moment Lara's scream began. I loaded the game around 10 times just to make sure, but yes, every time I loaded, I heard Lara's scream followed by my sudden death. When he says he blacked out, so did he just actually black out?
I think it's a phrase. I don't think he actually blacked out.
It's blacked out. Oh, that is weird.
I whacked a bunch of keys.
It's a mad moment.
Yeah.
All those hours wasted, there was no other slot to load from, so I rage quit, and to this day, I've never completed The Last Revelation. Also, it marked the end of my game with my time with the franchise. I still have never completed another Tomb Raider game after three. So he
saved over his only slot with a death.
What kind of quick save system did they have in Last Rev?
Computers.
A mad one.
Computers.
Computers, isn't it? Cardi, I don't know where number three is, mate.
I've got it. I've got number three.
Oh, somebody on there.
Yeah, you've printed this in the weirdest way. I've got it split. It's only a paragraph. It's
duplex.
Split over two sides. Right.
This looks mad right now.
So this one's from Scott Thompson. This isn't a bad memory. We've got a new little topic for people to learn about. Mm-hmm. It says, hi everyone, my name's Scott and I'm from Northern Ireland. I recently saw a Twitter post from Cardi and Rory that linked the script to screen page. And I love going through it and seeing some of the most iconic scenes from films with the script underneath. If you haven't seen this, it's
really clever.
Short little clips. They show the film clip and then a scrolling script so you can see how it got from script to screen.
I like it best when it has to go really fast because they've cut out like a big chunk of dialogue. So it's
really interesting. So he goes and says, Interstellar is one of his favourite films. And after seeing the Years of Messages clip with the script was class. My question to you is, what would be your all-time favourite isolated scene from a film? That's a very tough one to think
of. You asked
us
to prep this and it really made me anxious because I can't think of it.
Don't feel like this is a definitive answer. Just think of one you really love.
When I got home last night, my girlfriend was watching American Psycho and I watched the business card scene.
It's so good.
And you just forget how, I think when I watched that for the first time, because it was the second DVD I ever bought, and it was just come out as well. I think the first time you watch that, you don't realise how fucking genuinely hilarious that scene is.
Yeah.
It's so funny. But also, it just looks awesome as well.
I also don't think it's properly hilarious until you've met people like that. Like, when you realise that that's not far from the truth. Like, when you watch it as a kid, you're like, oh, they're just idiots.
Yeah.
And then turns out people like that exist.
Oh, you get it, people now. Like, oh, that's a really good Twitter bio you put there.
Twitter bio.
I thought of that. Lovely little phrasing you've done
there. I've never heard that before.
It's the equivalent these days. No one's giving out, but well, people are giving out.
Can we take a quick tangent to ask what the first DVDs you ever owned were? Because actually that's a really interesting one.
I think I have memories of mine being the Disney animation Dinosaur.
I bought Texas Chainsaw Massacre and American Psycho on the same day. Nice. I got my mate Daniel Reese. You okay? His dad, he bought them for me.
I got...
I was around his house and we went shopping and he was like, oh, I think they're a bit old for you. I was like, no, I'm allowed. And he was like, I gave him my money and hid like rather
I had Dinosaur and Stuart Little.
Nice. Ghostbusters and Return of the Pink Panther. Smash.
Those are good.
That's really good, yeah.
Scene, Joe?
Scene, for some reason, the only one I could think of is...
Rush Hour.
Not Rush Hour, we talked about this.
Start to finish.
You can't take one scene out of Rush Hour out of context without doing down the rest. Budapest Hotel, when... Goldblum's character is having to run away from the assassin played by Willem Dafoe. It's the closest Wes Anderson's ever come to making a horror movie, and I really like it because there's this weird chase where every scene ends with Goldblum seeing Willem Dafoe, and then you get the weird like two shot of Goldblum, Dafoe, and then he'll be in reflections or like in corners and stuff, and then they get to this museum and it's this weird stylized darkness where all there are suits of armor in spotlights. Goldblum's running through and like Willem Dafoe takes off his shoes so that he's really quiet when he chases him. And then it ends with that amazing bit where he closes a door and all his fingers fall off and they're all like plasticine fingers on the floor. It's just this amazing tiny little set piece that I really enjoyed.
So that's a great film.
I loved
scene,
it.
In Life Aquatic, where Bill Murray goes through the boat, where because it's like they've got that mad cross section,
and they built that
thing.
Really,
yeah. And then he like, goes through every single boat, and it's just it's one. It looks stunning, but also he's hilarious in it as well. Because it starts like this thing that goes out through the whole film about how much he hates the fucking dolphins. Yeah. and he's like, we've got four bottlenose dolphins. They've got like this hell. And he's like, apparently they're hyper intelligent, though I'm yet to see any evidence of this. And then later on, you get him going, God, I hate those goddamn dolphins.
That's what's great about The Sopranos as well. There's so many little running jokes that come back. Oh, I love running jokes.
The Sopranos thing that I've told you to keep an eye on is how much they mention DVDs.
Yeah.
Which so really?
Is, yeah, yeah.
They were like the Laserdisc versus DVD discussions.
they talk about it all the time.
Yeah. I went looking for how much Laserdiscs were the other day. I want to own some.
Have they gone mad up in price?
Yeah, though? I think they're proper collector's things now. Because I remember watching Raiders of the Lost Ark on Laserdisc. And it was
how much,
like
how much are UMDs?
UMDs are pretty cheap, as far as I can understand.
That's good. My scene.
Oh yeah, here you go.
It's not There Will Be Blood.
Good.
It's another Paul Thomas Anderson film night.
All right.
It's in Boogie Nights, and it's not the pool scene which everyone picks.
Yeah.
Mine is
the grot scene, the really horrible scene.
No, mine is near towards the end of the film when it is just really horrible, dark, and but it's a real like funny 10-minute scene when they go for the drug deal in Alfred Molina's character's house.
I don't remember
and
that.
The music and it's incredible. So it starts and they go in. It's supposed to be like a little drug deal, and there's him in his Alfred Molina in his underpants and like a silk dressing gown. With music playing, and then like a little like Vietnamese boy just throwing firecrackers on the floor in the corner.
Oh yeah,
like it's really bizarre.
I haven't watched
you
that
just
for
see
years.
It. Oh, it's amazing. I watched it on the train this morning. The just that scene, not the whole film. And then he puts on a song. And he's like, oh, I love this song. And then he just starts singing along to Jesse's Girl by Rick Springfield for about 2 minutes. And there, and it has this great like 40-second shot of Mark Wahlberg's face just staring at him because he's on like coke. He's just staring, and he's just kind of like mesmerized by him. It sticks, and John C. Reilly's just like poking him, like, "Are you okay?" And then, basically, it all goes tits up.
Yeah,
I won't spoil what happens. Things happen. Guns come out. There's a bit of a shootout, and then it turns to 99 red Luftballons, and that kicks in, and it's just amazing. The music and that scene is just—it's hilarious and just really. Miserable at the same time because this guy's life is just disintegrating. Oh, Boogie Nights is sensational.
Every few, like 4 or 5 years, I forget the Boogie Nights isn't as fun as I think it is.
Yes.
And then I go,
it is, though.
I've been a lot of Boogie Nights. Well,
even and then it's in its darkest moments, it's funny.
It's because it's so long that you get like an hour in, you're like, oh, gad about porno fun. And then you get to the actual business end of it.
And everyone's on drugs and
God. Just,
yeah,
I hate that. The bit that I can't watch is when the William H. Macy's wife speaks to him and she's like, get the fuck out of here. Oh,
so horrible.
That is a brilliant film. Do you know the house on another podcast called Tom Sanders speak on? That house is for sale that they
is
shot
it?
In.
So is the house from Spaced.
Yeah.
9 bedrooms, £4 million.
9 bedrooms? Mm. It can't be the whole thing. It's just the outside, right?
What do you mean?
Like
what? You're not just buying the outside
house
of that
from,
house.
No, but the house from Space is not where
the
they filmed.
The flat must be a... Or do you think they filmed in the flat? I don't know.
I seem to remember bits of the house were really used, but I might be
wrong.
They
use the garden, because they look out and there's the garden.
Yeah, but that could be somewhere else.
Though. Yeah.
It could be that house, though.
I can't remember.
Oh, yeah. Have you thought about this, Gav?
But apparently that house has been owned by the same family ever since the filming.
Really?
Yeah, so now
because there's a bit...
Getting shot.
I can't remember what it is. I think it's on the DVD where they go... They do like a bit where they say goodbye and they're at the front of the house.
Mm.
But I'm sure I remember listening in the commentary.
I haven't watched Spaced in years.
I bet it stands up.
It definitely does.
Yeah, I haven't thought about that.
Like it's got a very... It's the music that dates it the most. It's like the music feels really old, but the actual comedy of it is still brilliant.
It's brilliant, but there's still moments of it I don't... Like everyone loves the fake shootout scene. To me, that was never funny.
I liked it. Yeah, I don't think it was amazingly funny.
Yeah, that's the
I just
clip.
Like it.
Whenever anyone shows Space,
that's the clip they show,
and I'm like, that's not.
Do you know what? I'm doing the.
Robot Wars is the best.
I think. Well, when people do that, though, from doing that, we did like the best 25 British comedies. ever.
How did that go down?
A couple of years ago.
Let's redo that.
From having to do the video for that, I will tell you that there are not many HD clips of Space Online. So I think when people are doing, but that one with the guns is online. So when people are doing that, they're like, fucking stick it in.
It will
I
do.
I ripped it from the DVD. So
you're a professional.
A professional thief.
Yeah. And another thing.
And another thing. Piracy.
Get it in.
So what we got going now? We've got, if you want to write in with your, what's your first DVD you ever bought?
First DVD.
Favorite IGN scenes? Underscore UK, feedback at IGN.com. Yeah.
Favorite scenes in those DVDs.
Oh, you already said yours. Yeah. Awesome. Thank you very much for listening. See you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.